Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio. Got new listeners across the country, different places. While I was out last week, I think we turned some new stations on, didn't we?
We did.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, Jacksonville, Florida, which is going to be that's on an AM station, but that's a huge market in Jacksonville.
Yeah. And we're going to have an FM presence there before long,
right?
And then when New Orleans, Louisiana,
Baton Rouge, expanded coverage there.
Corpus Christi, Texas. There's some others.
Alice, Texas. Yeah. The Montgomery and...
Montgomery went on?
I'm just saying, it either have gone on or upcoming. And is it Huntsville, the other
Lexington,
one?
Lexington. Huntsville's on the air.
Okay.
Lexington, Kentucky is coming up.
Yep.
We're expanding our coverage of American Family Radio. And, you know, what we're able to do is educate people on what's happening in our country. And also, you know, at the same time, we're promoting a biblical understanding of the world, worldview, Christian worldview, if you will, I think. And promoting, obviously, the gospel of Christ. That is the life-changing message of Jesus. Best way to change your worldview is to give your life to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he will change your heart, and he will change your mind.
You know, it's just to make a little short testimony.
Yeah.
Before I became a Christian when I was almost 20 years old. I was 19 years old, but within days of turning 20, I was pro-abortion. The moment I got saved, I knew that was wrong. Now you say, well,
really?
How did you know? I just knew that was wrong. Abortion was wrong. So that's the kind of thing that happens, not always, but oftentimes when a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit just begins to show you things. There were things that I had been doing in life that I just knew were wrong, although I had never read the Bible, had not been taught anything, did not grow up in a Christian home. There were certain things that I was doing as part of my lifestyle that I knew was wrong.
After Christ came into your life.
Yes, I'm talking about day after I knew I can't do that anymore.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, how did I know that? Well, I just believe it was because I had the Spirit of God. And, of course, as I began to read the Bible, I began to learn and understand why certain things are wrong. But I just knew. So that's that kind of 180, the 180-degree turn that oftentimes comes with becoming a Christian, is that you really do have a change of mind. That's part of the meaning of the word repentance in the Bible, is you have a changed mind. And, of course, a lot of it is a growth process where you learn how to wrestle with issues and apply the Scripture. But that goes to your point.
Yeah.
And that's just my own personal testimony.
That's why I often hear on American Family Radio, we tell people how to be born again.
Right.
As the Bible says.
I was a cussing machine. I had a very vulgar mouth. I became a Christian. That stopped immediately. It was effortless. It just wasn't, my nature was changed. I just stopped cussing. I don't know, maybe there was an intuitive understanding that a Christian wouldn't do that, but I didn't struggle with it. Now, I had a problem with anger. That became a kind of a sanctification process. That didn't go away right away. But I stopped cussing the moment I became a Christian. It just was like, it really was a change of nature.
Well, that, you know what? That's not a, you didn't turn over a new leaf, right?
No, that's right. This wasn't a New Year's resolution.
That's something real that happened to you. It was a conversion experience. Now, as you say, holiness and those things are a lifelong process.
Right.
We're trying to get closer to God in our actions and our attitudes and what things we say. But some things come immediate, and you right from wrong
right.
changed in your mind, and you were able to control your tongue. That's interesting.
Yeah, now that's I don't want listeners to misunderstand me. I'm not saying I've never cussed since then.
No, and let's don't use any examples.
No, I won't use any
on
examples.
On this radio program, please.
People ask me, you say, well, have you ever cussed? You know, and I said, well, only when absolutely necessary.
Right.
I mean, you know, if I hit my thumb with a hammer, you know, okay, so I don't want to give anyone the impression that I...
You can't get fleshly.
That I can't get fleshly.
Okay.
But I'm saying that my vulgarity, before I was a Christian...
You recognize that now, looking back.
It stopped the moment I became a Christian.
Wow.
And
that's a testimony to the power of God to change a person's heart.
Right. So it's not a New Year's resolution, which I have failed miserably at, you know, making New Year's resolutions. This was not that. First of all, it wasn't New Year's. It was August of 1978. But anyway.
Who led you to the Lord?
Actually, my sister did.
Okay.
My sister became a Christian, and
you said you weren't raised in a Christian home.
I was not raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a good home,
right,
in a moral home. That's kind of the moral capital.
Your dad was a former Marine.
My dad was a former Marine, so people say, would you take drugs? No, I drank in high school. I did not take drugs because that was what hippies did. And my
dad was
a former Marine, and he would have killed me. I would have been in big trouble if I got caught drinking a couple of beers.
Right.
But taking drugs, that's what hippies did, and I feared my dad.
So you had a God and country home, even though God wasn't.
Yes, that's exactly right. You. Good I way of you. Describing it.
Well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. We are pleased to welcome our guest. Go ahead, Ed.
Absolutely. Social critic Oz Guinness, who's senior fellow at the Oxford Center for Christian Apologetics. He has been on here many times with books that he's written. He's a writing machine. Mm-hmm. He's written a new book. The title of it is Impossible People, and the subtitle is Christian Courage and the Struggle for the Soul of Civilization. Oz, welcome back to Today's Issues.
It's a delight to be with you both. Thank you.
Your book, Oz, Impossible People, give us an overview, if you would.
Well, this one is not written to the public square like many of my other books. This is written to the church, and it's a challenge to people to take a strong stand in today's world, where there's so much what I call amiable accommodationism and a softness in evangelicalism, which means the extraordinary thing that we're a majority in this country, and yet we have less influence than tiny minorities in the country.
Well, you know, Oz, you know, one of the things I remember in Bible reading and preaching and teaching is in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were arrested for proclaiming Christ. All that happens in John 4, and they go back and they tell the church, and the church prays, and you'd think they would pray for protection against persecution or this or that. They pray for boldness to proclaim the truth of God's word. That's kind of what you're talking about in terms of the kind of squishy, you know, touchy-feely kind of Christianity is a boldness that proclaims the truth in love, right?
Absolutely. Now, I call it Impossible People after a reformer in the 11th century called Peter Damian, who was so sold out to Christ at a time of incredible corruption, financial and sexual, that he was known as the person who was unmanipulable, unbribable, undeterrable. In George Orwell's wonderful later term, he was unclubbable. There was no comfortable conformity. And he just stood firm for the Lord. Now, some people said it with great admiration, and some people said it with exasperation. They couldn't manipulate him. And that's the sort of Christians that we need today, with real backbone, and yet with all the compassion and the mercy and the love of our Lord at the same time.
Talking to Oz Guinness, his new book is out. It's called Impossible People, subtitled Christian Courage and the Struggle for the Soul of Civilization. Oz, you write on something called the ABC moment. I guess almost nothing in this book I've been anxious to get your commentary on more than this. I think folks need to sit up and listen to what you're about to say. Because what do you mean by ABC moment?
Well, I mean simply anything but Christianity. In other words, when cultures are in decline, they often turn against the, quote, old faith that made them whatever they were. And my argument in the book is the significance of the present moment is that we're nearing the climax of the centuries-long attempted takeover by progressive secularism from the Jewish and Christian faiths as being the decisive working faith of the West. And that's the significance of the era in which we're in. Now, the trouble is that many Christians, they're very, very aware of the hostile ideas that we face. Relativism, postmodernism, secularism, things like this, all the ISNs. But they're less aware of the seductive shaping power of the modern world that's also undermining us. And the book has both in it.
This is extreme, and we're seeing this happen before our very eyes, both in Europe and in the United States, or North America, Canada, I would include in that, continents with great Judeo-Christian heritage and foundations in many respects. What you've just described, because Ed and I will talk about issues here on this program, and then and you look about what's going on in the world, Oz, and you wonder, the secular progressives, who I guess used to be more commonly known as secular humanists, and why are they teaming up with the Islamists in many respects? Because they're contrary to one another, but they have a common enemy, and that is Christianity. Now, have I got that right?
No, you've got that exactly right. It's an ironic, sort of unwitting in some cases, an ironic, unwitting alliance, but they know in their heart of hearts that the major obstacle between them and complete success is the Christian church. And so anyone against the Christian church, therefore, at the present moment, although, of course, ironically, if the Muslims were ever to win and Sharia was to become practiced in the way it has been in the Middle East, they'd be the ones who suffer first, which is crazy. And so I even have one chapter on our needed working together with secularists to create a genuinely free, just, and open society. And we need to work out what it means to really be co-belligerents with secularists, even while we oppose them in terms of a worldview that's very different, even thoroughly opposed to our own.
Who do you think, and maybe they haven't thought this far, but spiritually speaking, these are the enemies of God, right? Of the true God. That's the reason that some of these worldviews or religious doctrines can work together against Christianity is because behind the scenes it's Satan at war against God. Is that true?
Well, that's right. But you can see, and you take, say, the gay issue after same-sex marriage. There's a real discussion among some of the gay activists. There are some, like Jonathan Rauch, like Andrew Sullivan, both pro-gay, but they say, we've won, but we've got to give the right of dissent to people who differ from us, because we're liberals, we believe in freedom. And then you have others like Mark Tushin at the Harvard Law School who say, no, we won, they lost, and we should treat them the way the Allies treated the National Socialists at the end of World War II. In other words, denying conscientious objection, denying the right to dissent. So we can work and should work with the first, because there's a common commitment
right
to freedom. But the second are really, really dangerous, not just to us, but to anyone who loves freedom.
Hey, not to divert too much from the topic in hand, but it's related, I think, in ways. You have dual citizenship in Britain and the U.S.?
Yes, I'm English.
Okay. Brexit. The Britain pulling out of the EU, is that good? Were you for that or opposed to that?
Well, I was personally in favor of it because I think Brussels had become an elitist, centralized, bureaucratic superstate. And it was a disaster. But that said, many of those who were fighting for Brexit, they had real weaknesses in their campaigns, especially to compare them with the American Revolution. For example, there was no political vision of what they'd do if they won. There was no sense of the politics of freedom. It was all about economics, the role of the City of London, GDP, and this sort of thing. And there was no sense that if we do this, there will be a cost. You know, the framers committed themselves, their sacred honor, their lives, their fortunes, their homes, and all that. And they paid the cost, and then they won through. But the Brexiteers often had no particular clues, so it played into the hands of the anti-immigration people who veered towards nativism and so on. But I'm personally glad that we've gone, and I hope Theresa May and others can lead it forward well.
We're talking with Oz Guinness, who's a senior fellow at the Oxford Center for Christian Apologetics. He's written a book, well-accomplished writer, but his latest is titled Impossible People, Christian Courage and the Struggle for the Soul of Civilization. Oz, let me just play off your subhead here, of your book. If we need Christian courage in this day and age, how much of it do you see in the Christian church?
Well, of course, there's a lot of magnificent courage. People's living, people's writing. Thank God for all the wonderful exceptions. But you see, evangelicalism is in a kind of meltdown. On the one hand, we have the extremes of the health and wealth, low esteem gospel. And on the other hand, we have what worries me more is the soft accommodationism, the way I put it, the soft center of evangelicalism, which simply doesn't stand for anything and blows with the wind and far too much opinion poll taking and so on. And it's that we need to encourage. We used to be known as the evangelicals who had a high view of authority. But you can see this soft center goes any which way in terms of the Bible and same-sex marriage and so on. There's a crisis of authority in the center, and that's what's so dangerous.
That's a very good point. Talking to Oz Guinness, I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano on this about this topic. You know what you've just mentioned. I think, Oz, I have a theory on what you just laid out is what you call the soft accommodation or softness in the evangelical much of the evangelical church. Human beings naturally have an aversion to confrontation. Some people enjoy it. Donald Trump. I think he relishes that. Maybe not, but I'm talking about that's his persona, you know, sort of bring it on. And some maybe 10% of people are like that. But for the most part, people want to get along and they don't want to be confrontational with others for any reason.
Right.
And when you and so you take that. You put it into some of the Bible verses that you find, turn the other cheek or whatever the case may be, where it does seem to encourage passivity, so to speak. And then you have the liberal media establishment and people in the entertainment industry and just beating up Christians unmercifully who are traditionalists on morality and things of that nature.
And who do speak out.
And who do speak out, they are beaten up. And so most Christians, including a lot of pastors, see this and they go, man, I don't have the stomach for this. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to beat up by people. I'm not opposed to people. I'm going to be mischaracterized by people in the community or the media. So I'll just shy away from all this stuff that's controversial, and just retreat to my little church or my big church and try to get along that way. Have I described it pretty well?
All too well. So, you know, a month ago I was in Oxford, my old home, and in the church service in the evening, there was a Nigerian brother being interviewed, and they asked him at the end, have you anything to say to us after the interview? And he said very simply, he said, we in Nigeria are dying for the faith. Think of Boko Haram. Please, you Western Christians, don't compromise. And there's the tragedy. We watch what's happening under ISIS with Christians being beheaded, or Nigeria, or Christian brothers and sisters in China or North Korea. And here we are in a weak way. We're not being persecuted. We've got discrimination. But the tragedy is, you know, we're put on the back foot. We're on the wrong side of history. This is nonsense. Our answers in the scriptures and in the gospel are the only way forward for America and for humanity. And we've got to come out with courage and be constructive and really show we're not the ones on the wrong side of history. They are, but we've got to show them and argue that in very powerful ways. For example, take freedom. A book like Sam Harris's Freedom is an Illusion just shows you that something as precious, foundational as freedom, atheists don't have a basis for it, looking at naturalistic science. And you certainly don't see an answer in the Eastern religions or whatever. Jews and Christians are the guardians of freedom. And you can see this in area after area. Human dignity is another area. So it's time to move out with confidence in the scriptures and with courage and giving a constructive vision of the way forward for America and the world.
Oz, we just have a couple of minutes left. Do you think that what you just described as a motivational impulse in the life of the Christian in the West, isn't it really, if you really love your neighbor, I mean, isn't it really something that you would want to share? Because this is the only basis for freedom and human flourishing, is for people to be right with God through Christ and to be obedient to his gospel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was very moved some years ago, and I read Christopher Dawson in a huge debate after World War II, and he raised the question with other intellectuals like T.S. Eliot, and he said, can the church in the West be warmed again, revived, restored, warmed again a third time? And one great theologian, Emil Brunner, actually had the courage to say, I don't think so. Things are so bad, and they certainly are. But Dawson answered his own question, and I was very moved by this. He said, we mustn't, every true Christian would say, yes, of course, the church can be revived. But we mustn't answer too quickly and too lightly, because on the outcome of that question depends the future of humanity. That's the stakes, Tim and Ed, that we're fighting for.
Oz Guinness has been our guest. G-U-I-N-N-E-S-S is Oz's last, how to spell his last name. His book is called Impossible People, Christian Courage and the Struggle for the Soul of Civilization. Oz, thanks so much for being our guest. We wish you the best. Good writing. Thank you.
Yeah, well done once again, Oz.
Well, thank you. It's always a privilege to be with you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, I mean, you can't put it any better than that. I mean, we're talking about the future of humanity. I mean, this is something that Christians have to understand. You know, it takes a lot to go into verbal combat with people, and it's hard. It's even harder if you're going to do it in a loving way. But if you really love your neighbor, if you really love members of your family, you have to speak the truth. And that's what a lot of Christians are unwilling to do for precisely, I think, the reason you mentioned, Tim. Most of us don't naturally gravitate towards, you know, who wants to split up the family at Thanksgiving? Who wants to have a big, big to do, you know, when you're just there to have turkey, you know, but Christians are called to, it, maybe not insinuate it, you don't want to shoehorn it into the discussion, but Impossible People, folks, get a copy of Oz Guinness's new book.
Well, let me challenge you to pray for our country today. We need to pray every day, but let's pray for our country. Pray that revival breaks out. We all know as Christians that the number one need we have in this country is for a great Christian awakening, a great Christian revival.
Amen.
People to become.
Please let it happen.
Be a lot easier. Our job be a lot easier if more people get saved. Amen.
Right.
All right, folks, you have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio. The Bible teaching of Dr. Alistair Begg is up, then the news, then on with your day here on AFR. Take care, everybody.